Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in to our boardroom chat once again. I tell you, we enjoy doing these things, and I hope you enjoy it. And I know you do, because so many people write in with wonderful testimonies and comments and compliments, and it's
yes,
just such a blessing of the Lord.
Yes, I got things right here in front of me from Pakistan, Kenya, Nigeria, Australia, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Yeah, I just came from there.
Just to say a few. Yeah. I was with you.
Yes, it was
a
blessing.
We came from there.
Yes, we came from there. So this ministry is very global in its outreach, and it's such a blessing. And the reason why it is our wonderful partners who faithfully finance this ministry.
Yes.
Every month, man, you send in your faithful financial support, and 100% goes in the world of evangelism, because we've been debt-free since 1982. And I know you've heard me say that before, but it's such a blessing of God that none of the money you send goes to pay interest on any debt whatsoever at all. Think about that. So that your seed is very, very, very strong in this very fertile soil.
It's very important.
Called Jesse Duplantis Ministries, and I mean
that's
so sincerely.
True. So let us know where you're watching from,
yeah.
If it's from another nation or just within the United States. I know the majority of our
sure.
viewers are in the U.S., but we got so many all over the world, and we love,
Amen.
love hearing from you.
It's a blessing of God. I want to talk today. In fact, a lot of people have asked me. It came up in my mind as I was coming to the studio. What people say, why do you talk about vision so much? Well, I want to talk about that today. You know, what's coming up very soon on July the 10th and July the 11th is our Visionary Conference. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's only a Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night. It is such a blessing of the Lord. People come from all over the world. Let me give you those dates. Thursday, July the 10th at 7 p.m., then Friday morning, July the 11th at 10 a.m., and then July the 11th at 7 p.m. right here at JDM International Headquarters. Registration is absolutely free. And you have to register so we know how many people come. We can prepare for you at jdm.org. It won't cost you nothing. As long as me and Kathy are the head of this ministry, we're not going to charge registration. Nothing wrong with people charging registration fees. But me and Kathy and this ministry loves to live by faith. So right. We just stand on that spoken word of God.
You don't have to register. You forget about registering. Here it is, the night of the service. I haven't registered. No, you can come. Don't have to. But we'd love it.
Yeah.
Helps us if you register.
Well, we want to have a seat for you and everything so you can be comfortable and things of that nature.
And there's also Visionary Kids.
That's right.
So if you have a kid, child, you can bring them.
Plus the
school
food in New Orleans
children.
Is amazing. A lot of people come a couple of days early and they go all over New Orleans, French Quarter, eating in wonderful places. And it is just such a blessing of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Let's get into this right now. Why do I talk about vision so much? Well, I want to go to Proverbs chapter 29 first. And then I'm going to tell you why I want to deal with this. Not because the Visionary Conference is coming up, but because why vision is so vitally important to each and every one of us. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, this is the old King James Version, says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law of the word, happy is he. So in other words, when you have a vision, you're going to stay happy.
Right.
And you know, it's good being happy. You have been sad, sick, disgusted, busted, broke, despondent, discouraged. That ain't fun, is it? But when you're happy, it's such a blessing. Let me read it again. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, you know what that word perish means? They are made naked, which means they have nothing to offer to anyone. They're stripped of everything they are and what they could do. That's what that means, see? That's why vision is so vitally important.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't understand that, you know? And I'm a visionary specialist. I don't mean that sound arrogant. That was given to me by a lot of different people. They say, there's two things that have had people call me all the time. Number one is the apostle of joy. Lord, they just say, Jesse got joy. And number two, he's a vision specialist. Why? Well, I don't like running around going naked. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. You know why? In other words, when you see this mission, you see us, you see vision, you see results. I'm not being bragging about that. You see results, see? And that's what it's all about, to reach people, to change lives, one soul at a time. Now, I want you to hold that verse right there.
Before we go there, can I read that verse in the Passion Translation?
Yeah, go ahead, do it.
It says, where there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. Isn't that
it's
great?
Actually prophetic, is what it's saying
right
there. Yeah,
it's really, and you know, it just reminded me when we were reading this about how in the days, because I was reading that in my private Bible reading this morning about Samuel, how when he came, there was no open vision.
No
there
was open vision.
No word, no
400
prophet.
400 years.
400 years.
That's a long time for God not to speak a word to somebody.
Yes,
you don't
so
think
true.
That's disobedience? Good Lord. I mean, it really is. Now watch this. When you understand that.
It was rare in that day is what it says.
Yeah.
think in the King James.
And you know, it's kind of rare today, if you really think about it. You know what I mean? Because people just go by what they see. No, you got to go by what is ahead of you. You know, I'm always 10 years ahead in my thinking, in my vision, and everything I do here. I mean, you know, I'm 10 years ahead. I mean that sincerely. And when you understand that, because, you know, Jesus said some phenomenal things, and I'm going to tell you why I believe in vision so much. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24, and we'll come back to chapter 29 there and 18 in Proverbs, but I want to go to Matthew chapter 24. This is a very popular chapter because it talks about end times. And people are wanting to know now with all the stuff that's going on in the Middle East.
Right.
Is it the last days and things of that nature?
These are instructions from Jesus.
I'm going to say
Jesus.
Something going to kind of shock you. Okay. I'm not concerned about the last days. Now, I know that's going to blow your socks off what I just said. Oh, people worried about this. I'm not. I just know without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is coming. Now, do I want him to come now? Yeah, I'd like him to come before I finish this boardroom chat. But if he does it, that don't make no difference. He's still coming. My job as his servant, as his son, is to do his work. Now, the way to do it perfectly is to only say what Jesus says and only do what Jesus says to do. You see what I'm saying? Now, this is the vision that God wants. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. That's the most popular verse probably in the Bible to everyone, John 3:16. But the reason for it is that God loves you. There may be a lot of people hate you, but God will love you. And I don't care who you are, what nationality, color, creed, whatever. He even loves the sinner. He said he gets no pleasure in the sinner that goes to hell or dies and does things of that nature. But this is why I talk about vision so much. And it's Matthew 24 and it's verse 14. And it's this, and this gospel, what gospel? Not a gospel, some gospel, this gospel right here. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness to all nations. For a witness, they don't have to receive it, but they must witness it. And then the end result, then shall the end come. Now you understand, that's why I haven't retired. That's why most of the people I started out with have quit or retired or dead. And I don't like that whatsoever at all, but you just keep going. I tell preachers, if you're going to go home to be with the Lord, if you're going to die, die in the saddle. And what I mean by in the saddle is preaching that glorious gospel every day of your life. And preaching it is proclaiming it not only behind a pulpit, but with your life. See, because people see more than they hear. So show them something. So I want this world saved. Let me tell you, when I'll ride off in the sunset, if you want to talk like that, when 8 billion people, which is how many people on the planet, roughly, receive Christ as Lord or witness him, then I'm finished. I've done my job. You see what I'm saying? Then I'm ready to go do my eternal work. And buddy, let me tell you something. There's some things out there that we don't know nothing about. We talk about our universe is so vast that our finite minds cannot even comprehend it. And yet now we talk about multiple universes and black holes and all everything you can think of. They're learning as much as they possibly can. And these stars and God flung them with his hand. So people say, but just you think there's other people out there? Well, if there isn't, it's a big waste of space. That's all I can say. You see what I'm saying? But I noticed something that God said the earth is his footstool. So he likes to relax with his feet on us. And blessed are the feet of those who bring the good news. You see what I'm saying? So now, wow, if his feet's on us, what's he looking at? He's looking at the universe. He's looking at his creation. There's something out there. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's why I talk about vision. That's why I tell you to be a partner to this ministry. It's not so I can get your money. In any way, shape, or form, I wish everything was free. I wish this table was free when you went out there and found this thing, but it's not. But we had to have it for our studio. I wish these lights were free, the cameras, and the people behind the cameras. They're not free, but they're reasonable. You know what I make a joke? Because you got to make a living. You live in an economic world.
Sure.
But I've asked the Lord, and you've heard me say it, if that one's probably 1,000 times, for every dollar given to this ministry, give me a soul into the kingdom. Do you understand why? Matthew 24.
Right.
14, Proverbs 29, 18. Do you understand what I'm saying? And when you understand that, man, you'll get on board to what God is doing. We have a responsibility as the body of Christ to literally touch the world. That is our job. And I've said this so many times, what you do here determines what you'll be and what you'll do when you get there. What do you think about that?
I love all of that. And I was thinking about what you said a while ago, how you're not concerned about what's going on in the world today, although a lot of people are troubled.
Sure, they're
troubled. That was part of Jesus' instruction in Matthew 24.
What did he said about trouble?
He says in...
What did he said about trouble? Let not...
Let not.
It's in the let.
Yeah. You did that on my Glorious Living program.
Yeah, it's in the let.
I ain't going to hear that pretty soon.
I ain't worrying about that stuff because the government is on crisis. So, now, Brother Jesse, he's talking about the millennial kingdom. That's true, but it's also here. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, guides you in all truth.
Yes.
Now you understand why I'm not worried and sweating and know what I'm going to do.
Let not is a timeless word.
Yes.
It's a now word. It's a faith word. But when you're not concerned, you're being biblical.
Sure.
Because Jesus said in verse 4 of Matthew 24, he says, "And answer said unto them, take heed that no one deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, that you be not troubled."
Yeah.
So he says, don't be troubled about this.
Oh, yeah.
In faith.
I don't like it. Don't misunderstand me. I pray for Israel, and I want Iran to get saved. You know,
the people of Iran.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Watch this. Why do we build weapons so powerful to kill us all? We have the power to kill us all. Why do we do that? You know, they say, it's a deterrent. Okay, I understand what you're saying because we live in a sinful world. But if the whole world got saved, you could take every nuclear bomb and instead of blowing somebody up, use energy and use it for energy. It would be wonderful. There'd be no crime. Now, let me tell you, there is a place like that right now. It's called heaven. I don't think the Lord has any nuclear ICBMs. I don't think so. You know what? Because he's the God of peace, possession of adequate resource, nothing broken, nothing missing. Yet he wants his will to be done here. Mm. Not when we get there. Yes, we're going to do it there. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done where?
On earth.
As it is where?
In heaven.
Here. See, now that's vision to me.
Yes.
That's why I think about it. Mm. When I see somebody walking down the street, and a lot of times you can tell people are not saved, especially by some of the things they wear. And Kathy said something the other day, and I never thought about it till she said it. She says, I think he was reading somewhere in the scripture that in the last day, people want to get naked.
Oh, I think that was a prophecy by
something.
Lester Sumrall prophesied that years ago.
And it's true. I mean, you can
just
see
one of the signs of the end times. It's just one of them.
Yeah.
And we see it's true.
Yeah, it just really, and I thought, Lord, you know. And it's amazing to me. And I find that, you know, why does the church have to be revived? When did you lose your vibe? That's a viable question. Now, I don't mean this. I'm going to say it, and somebody's going to write me an ugly letter. I have never needed to be revived. I preach revivals. But me, I have such a passion for being saved, been saved now going on 51 years. Glory to God, come Labor Day weekend. And it's wonderful. That doesn't mean trouble don't come my way. You know, I love that, you know, was it St. John 14 verse, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You know, I spend my time believing in him more than all the junk that's going on around me.
Yeah, that's why you stay fired up. You can't. In fact, that's what Paul told his spiritual son, Timothy. He said, you stir up the gift of God that was in you by the laying on of hands. I can't imagine Paul ever needing a revival either.
No.
You know, don't you think? He didn't need it.
Well, I know some people just thought, well, only Luke with me. Yeah.
Well, that didn't mean he wasn't revived.
He was revived.
He's talking about how people had abandoned him. People will disappoint you, but God will never disappoint
you. Give me an example. We had a few years back, we had some trouble in the church. You know, people fight all the time about silliness, but it didn't depress me or discourage me. Still there. See what I'm saying? Still going on, believing God's word.
And the same thing with Jesus.
Yes.
When he heard the bad news about how John the Baptist, his cousin, had been beheaded, the Bible says that he sat and then he immediately took up the same message.
That's right.
And went about preaching and saying, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. The same thing John was saying.
Would you go see a reed shaking in the wind?
Yeah.
Oh, but this boy was the best preacher ever put in shoe leather. John the Baptist. He preached hell so hot you smell smoke when you got around that guy.
Yet when he was in prison, at that last part of his life, he was concerned. He says he sent his disciples, go ask Jesus if he's really the one.
No, you don't want to wait for another.
But then Jesus
kind of rebuked him.
Yeah, but he did. He said, tell him what you see.
Well, like we said,
the blind
I'll give you Jesse's paraphrase. What's the matter, John? I ain't working fast enough for you? Well, I know what John's thinking. They got this naked woman upstairs and dancing in front of a terrible heathen king, and her mama wants my head. So I can understand why she said that.
She got it.
And but what happened was, hallelujah, he was ushered immediately into the presence of God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean by vision.
That was his assignment.
If you really want to be
proclaim
happy.
Proclaim Jesus. Yeah.
Instead of looking at your family that's not saved, get a vision of them being saved.
Yes.
And letting your light shine. You see what I'm saying? I remember when Jody was little, just itsy bitsy, you know. But I used to think, what's she going to look like when she grows up? And you know what? She looks the same. Her facial features are bigger, naturally, because she's a full-grown woman. But what made Jody is not her looks, it's her spirit. She got that gleam in her eye. And she got it at almost 54. And when she was just a little, I said, who's daddy, baby? And she'd go, me. I can remember that like it was yesterday. And you know, 54 years seemed like yesterday, because I still see her as even though I know she's a full-grown adult, gave me Meredith, which is a pretty nice gift. I have a 17-year-old now granddaughter, praise the Lord. So my DNA is being spread all over the place, and yours is too, praise God. Hallelujah. Think about that. It's a blessing. Vision. So I have a vision for Jody. I have a vision for Meredith. Why? Because it's so vitally important that you're not stripped of what you should be doing. Mm. You see what I'm saying? Knowing your destiny and reaching your destination is vitally important in living this life. What do you think, Kathy?
I love that. And you know, every time vision has to be meditated on. You have to be thinking about it. And trusting God for every step of the way. I remember one of my first visions when I knew I could have a vision was for you to be born again.
Yeah.
And I
that
remember
was a big vision.
It was a great vision. And there were a lot of times you did things that made me think, oh, my vision's not going to happen. But I didn't speak that. Instead, I would pray the word of God and I'd say, Lord, I thank you that we'll be standing side by side for the gospel's sake. And I would rebuke the devil from blinding your eyes to the truth.
You didn't go by what you saw. You went by what you believed.
Because I had a battle. I had a battle plan. I had a vision. And the vision doesn't just happen because you have to stay with it. A lot of people get a vision in the beginning and they're looking toward the end. But that middle part is where the responsibility is to stay with it and continue to declare it regardless of how long it takes. David was anointed to be king when he was just a teenager, but it was almost 20 years before he actually sat in that throne and ruled Israel. But God didn't give up on his vision, and David couldn't give up either. It was a battle. He had a lot of physical battles to fight, I'm sure, as well as emotional and, you know, spiritual things to go deal with.
I'll show you something about partnership. When people, I already know what to do when you send in your financial support. How do you know, Brother Jesse? Vision? I swear to God, I know it. I know what to do with it. When people sit and I go, oh, I know what to do with that. And I know it's all for souls into the kingdom, but it's also for bodies healed, for depression to go away and discouragement and despondency, heartache, sorrow.
Stir up those people who maybe looked back or given up on life. God brings them back in. So we love the fact that people do experience revival.
Ooh.
Sad that things happen in life that maybe they cause them to turn away. But one of the reasons we're here every day on all of the platforms and all the things that we say is to encourage build you up. Get you back into that right place with God.
I had
God.
A preacher say, you've never fallen into the ditch. No, I've learned to jump over the ditch. You know, I can see the ditch. I said, well, my God, I believe I can clear this ditch by just simply jumping on over it with the word of the living God. Now, you know, the problem is you always got somebody saying this and saying that or mad about something, you know, and I'm not there to anger you. I'm there to help you to open your eyes to see what God has for you. Hmm. I'm going to say this about finance. I'm not looking for money, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to get mad when I say this. Money looking for me. It is looking for me. This anointing increases on me. It is looking
too much seed
for
in the ground.
Me. Because I got a lot of seed in the ground. But what to me, when God gives me a chunk of change, like I go, what do you want me to do this, whether it's for ministry or whether it's actually for my personal? I'll give you an example. Normally, I don't tell people what I do, but we were on the road. I was on the road, and I think, Kathy, you were with me. I'm not quite sure, but to make a long story short, I found out that our men's people wanted, they were going to go to the World War II Museum that we have here in New Orleans. If you get a chance to go to that, you need to go. It's one of the most amazing things you'll ever see. And, you know, they were going to do it, the men's people, you know, the guys, the men of the church. Well, when I heard about it, because normally they'll go out with us and then they'll go eat breakfast somewhere or something, but this was different.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know how much it cost. I told Kathy, I said, Kathy, I want to pay for that. Now, normally that's the job of the ministry, to send the men out, you know, because they work in the church, they do all that kind of stuff. But I said, no, I want to do it myself. And Kathy said, what do you mean? I said, I want you to cut a check. You know, she got all the money, you know, and the check and all kind of stuff. I said, just whatever it is, it turned out to be 20 men, I think. Whatever, I want to pay for it personally.
That was the limit of the group that the
they could
museum
do at that.
Would allow for a group.
And I want to be a blessing to them. I heard, man, they shot. Nobody knew about it. Ron Fortune, he's one of the pastors of the church. When they got to the thing, they all had their money to go in, you know, to pay your thing. And he said, Brother Justin, Sister Kathy wants to pay for this personally so you could have a good time. And they were all shocked. Well, just that little thing was a small vision. And I knew that those men would be happy. Well, the money I think that they took, that they had with them to pay for the thing, I think they bought lunches and they did. It was just a blessing. He says a vision is more than just preaching the gospel. You might want to be a blessing to your mother and father. Maybe you'd like to pay off your grandmother's house. That's a vision. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'd like to buy your children a home. That's a vision. Mm. But you got to see it in the spirit before you feel it in the physical. You see what I'm trying to say? And that's what I'm talking about. So when I go into my finance department and the mail's there and they open it up and our partner's so faithful and so kind, I can't thank you enough. I go, man, these people want me to do something. And I tell you what, I'm going to preach this gospel to the world for a witness to all nations, and the end shall come. So really, who is stopping the end from coming is us. Because this has to be financed. I wish it was free. I wish you could get on the airline, watch this, and fly over here to our visionary conference, and it wouldn't cost you a dime. I wish Southwest would give it to you, or Delta, or United, or American. But, you know, they have a business. Why? Well, they got people that work for them. Those people need to get paid, you know, because groceries cost money. Clothes cost money. Babies cost money. Teenagers really cost money, praise God, because their toys get bigger and bigger as they grow. See what I'm saying? And, you know, women, let's just face it, it just makes them feel good to shop a little bit, my God, you know? You know, the pressures of life, and let's go buy a dress or something like that. And I told that to Kathy about her blouse. I looked, I said, man, I hadn't seen that one. Yeah, I like it. She said, it's got a little touch of the 70s on it. You know? And I said, oh, okay. And I liked it, you know? Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what I'm talking about. And how many times I've went walking a mall with Kathy or whatever and run into somebody and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just bless them. Hallelujah. It's because I know there are people out there that need to witness this great thing called salvation.
Yeah, and there's so many ways that we do that, of course, through our platforms, but one-on-one, like you said. But this is what the scriptures say in Romans chapter 10, actually, beginning verse 13. I wanted to read this.
Yeah.
It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
I know
Don't
why
you love
you're,
that?
I know why you're a good preacher.
Why?
You got pretty feet.
You know, they are pretty.
Yeah, they're pretty. A lot prettier than mine.
Prettier than other. It's not. It's one of my better features. There's a lot of bad ones, other features I don't like, but my feet are okay.
Kathy got little cute
they
toes.
Are too, sometimes my toes are a little too short.
But they look good, you know what I'm saying? It's a blessing.
But they hold me up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I'm going to receive it. I'm not going to cut
it back. Why not? Praise God. Hallelujah.
I need all I can get.
Yeah. You know, and God is so good. What is your vision? What do you want? Oh, let me help you. This is not greed. Do you have a vision for a new home? Well, most of you do. Okay. Why not add to that vision for it to be debt-free? Me and Kathy are Romans 13:8 people. What does that mean? Owe no man anything but to love him. Mm-hmm. Now, you may be in Pakistan. It don't matter what country you're in. You may be in Haiti, which is, they say, the poorest nation in the Mediterranean, not the Mediterranean, the Caribbean. That don't make no difference. God's there if you allow him to do what he wants to do. And, you know, and when people write in these beautiful testimonies, in fact, I want you to read a few of them because we don't have much time left. I knew they were coming. I knew they would come. I knew people would respond. Why? Vision. Go ahead, Kathy.
Well, this person has a vision, Adjemani, I think his name is. I am in Nigeria, but I'd like to be at the Visionary Conference.
Well, believe God with you.
In person this year or next.
Amen.
So that's a great vision. We're going to believe with
Amen.
You for that. Another one, Joseph says, I can't wait for the Visionary Conference. I guess he's going to be here or we're going to be watching online.
Yes, indeed.
Gil says, love from Pakistan. Robert said, watching from Kenya. And then Karen says, so thankful to be your partner and to see what God is doing in my nation of Australia.
You know, that's an amazing statement. So thankful to be a partner of yours. You know what that tells me? That person trusts us.
Karen.
And trust us with what we're doing.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When me and Kathy say something, we do what we say.
And this other one says, from Crystal, I was in the same room with Brother Jesse and Pastor Kathy in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
Ooh,
we were just there recently. And it says, and it was a blessing beyond measure. Elegance, strength, and the love of Christ radiates from them. My prayer of 5 years was answered, and God made a way for me to be there.
Isn't that Jesus?
That was a great vision prayer.
Glory to God, that's
fulfillment.
A
vision. And then Marcella says, I love your statement. I will be bigger tomorrow than I was today.
That's it.
Uh-huh. That's a vision. Anyway, amen, amen. I receive it. Thank you, Brother Jesse and Pastor Kathy. Both of you are and have been a blessing in my life. Love you both. And Dee says, I love the joy that I sense from Dr. Jesse and Dr. Kathy. I always love the message, too.
Praise God.
You want some more? Got two more.
Go
Samantha,
ahead.
Which is, it commented under the message, how do I approach God, which you preached
yes.
on a Sunday
Father's
morning,
Day.
Father's Day recently. This was one of the best messages I've ever heard. Beautiful blessings. Wasn't
yeah,
that wonderful?
Yeah, you know, after a while, you know, Easter, Christmas, Father's Day, you know,
Mother's
you usually
Day,
preach
yeah.
the same kind of thing. You're going to preach on the resurrection on Easter, you know.
So yeah.
I said, how do I, and on Father's Day, I said, how do I, give me something. He said,
fresh.
Why don't you preach on how you come to me?
Mm-hmm.
I went, oh, yeah.
I'll approach God.
How you approach me, I said. Yeah, I believe I will. And so many people have responded to that. Do they have that? They can
look at
it
on the app on a past,
yeah.
on Father's Day. You'll see that. And yeah. I think we posted on social media as well.
It'll bless you. Uh-huh. I tell you what. Go ahead, Kathy. You got some more?
Yeah, just one more here today. It says, Renee says, I love you, Brother Jesse. You have helped me a lot in my walk with God.
That's what we do. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. And I thank all my partners for being so courteous and kind. Mm-hmm. To help us reach people and change lives one soul at a time. And if you're not a partner, pray about becoming one. Well, how do I do that? You can just go to jdm.org. That's our website. And hit the donate button. The amount is up to you. I mean, you know, you do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. Now, let me just say this. If you don't want to, that's okay. But still watch the program. Mm-hmm. Because, you see, we're still going to preach this glorious gospel. Okay. You can use PayPal if you like. You can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one if you want. You can go to our free JDM app and then select the giving you want. Or you can mail in an old-fashioned check like I do, you know. I still use the post office, you know, those kind of different things.
Yeah, actually, you tell me right
well,
check.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I hope you do. We're believing God. We have some very big projects going on right now. And I want to tell you something. We ain't sweating it. You know, this meant you never heard of Savior, no helpers, the day we're not going to make it.
You'll never hear that.
We've already made it.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? But we trust God and we trust our faithful partners. Mm-hmm. And they're growing every day. My God, I got partner walls or pictures. It would shock you the amount of people all over all those walls in our executive office. I mean, it goes down the line. I mean, it's amazing. Thank you for being so kind. And keep your vision high. Mm-hmm. Why not? You deserve it. God gave it to you, not just so you can look at it, but that you can complete
it. Wants to see it fulfilled, exactly.
And to receive it.
Right.
And once again, let me give you the dates of our Visionary 2025. It's coming up very soon, Thursday, July the 10th at 7 p.m. and Friday, July the 11th at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Right here at JDM International Headquarters. It's a suburb of New Orleans called Destrehan, Louisiana. Registration is absolutely free. We need you to register so we can make you comfortable when you come. And you can do that at JDM.org. I hope this little teaching helped you, because I want to tell you something. You are very important to God. You know why I know that? He gave you a vision.
Yes.
Yes, He did. Hallelujah. Believe for your family to be saved. Believe to be debt-free. My God. And I want to tell all my partners, people say, but just don't seem to get lonely. You know why? I bring you with me. Mm-hmm. You send me. I bring you with me. And I mean that sincerely.
You know, Jesse, I just think about that. We have adopted the vision of God.
Amen.
You may not feel like you have a personal vision,
Amen.
But
yeah.
all of us have a vision, have a purpose in life to
sure.
support the vision of God, which is to go into all the world, preach the gospel
yeah.
so that everybody
Every
can be born.
Every person on the planet has a vision. They may not realize it.
Mm-hmm.
But they do.
Yes.
Until next time, Jesse and Catherine Plant saying, we love you. We'll see you again on another wonderful boardroom chat. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.